Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And in the newsroom, I am John Secker with this Bloomberg Business Flash, where we see some of the risk coming back into the markets. Dollar also trimming some of its losses. The yield on the 10-year note still 2.37. And that's making a tough go for some of the financial shares today. It's all about net interest margins when you talk about the interest rates and the financial institutions. Dow Jones Industrial Average right now 31 points lower at 20,564. S&P 500 unchanged now at 2344. And the NASDAQ Composite Index, healthcare shares helping push the NASDAQ higher, along with IT shares up 18 points right now. That's up 0.3 at 58.46. And NYMEX crude, that is down 15 cents a barrel at 47.80. Effort to push ahead on OPEC and strengthen the production cut deal, failing to impress oil investors today. We'll check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day, right here on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker, and now back to Bloomberg Markets. Carol.
All right, John Tucker, thank you so much. This portion of Bloomberg Markets brought to you by BlackRock. Worried about market volatility? Minimum volatility strategies may be able to help. To learn more, please visit BlackRock.com/factors. Prepared by BlackRock Investments, LLC. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio. All right. We want to talk about this market because we are wondering whether or not we're starting to see maybe a bit of a pullback, and we could see whether or not investors kind of go to extremes, get a little bit nervous about the equity universe. Cole Smead back with us, Managing Director, Co-Portfolio Manager at Smead Capital Management, $2.1 billion in assets under management, based in the lovely Seattle in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. I should point out the Smead Value Fund beating just about all of its peers over the past 5 years, returning on average 14.6% annually. Nice to have you here with us.
Yeah, it sounds so much better when Carol says that than anyone else. Have you guys noticed that?
He's trying to butter me up. It's not going to work. Talk to us about this environment. You guys are looking for, you know, some value here, correct?
Yeah.
It's not been easy to find value in the run-up, I'm assuming, after the elections, or is it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he was talking about financials, for example, before you joined in here, Carol. Those stocks had gone up a lot in the interim, you know, post-election. So is it shocked to see people, you know, a little bit disappointed after buying those on pretty much excitement in the last couple months? No, but those are stocks that have created good money over 5 years. But anyone trying to time and be cute with that have been very frustrated. I mean, we've been an owner of Bank of America as an example, and you can count the number of months you've made money in that versus sitting that on that for, say, 60 months, right?
You had to be patient.
Very slow thing. So valuation financials attractive, just as a sense. As of last September, we had ran David Dreeman's PE quintiles, asking what looks cheap in the market. Of the 100 cheapest stocks, 33 were financials. So it that place looks cheap, but that's all about what could go on the next 3-4 years, you know, the next 2 weeks or the next month with, you know, election yes and no's. That's anybody's guess.
So you're holding on to financials.
Oh, we like our financials. We own Bank of America, JP Morgan, and Wells Fargo.
State Street.
We don't own State Street, no.
Oh, you don't anymore? No. We had it as one of your top 10.
Oh, no, that's our money market fund.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so in the financial space, the street's really worried about you know, the money made off of interest rates. But what they're not talking about is anything tied to mortgage origination or something that's fundamental to their business. Collecting a 1% loan origination on those banks is great. It's a one-time hit. And secondly, those new loans they underwrite are at higher rates than they have on their existing books. Very powerful. That being said, you know, the shape of the curve in the interim, that can change quite a bit over the next 10 years.
Now, Cole, you like housing stocks. I know Lennar is one of your picks. Mm-hmm. Are we still early on the housing story?
We have a great chart. I don't know if you can find it on the Bloomberg. I'd have to apologize for not being able to throw a good plug in for that. U.S. existing homes for sale as a percentage of population. We have a chart that goes back to 1984 that we came across. It's the lowest it's been in 32 years. This looks...
You're talking about low supply.
Lowest supply.
Right.
Okay, so across America, and there's anomalies to this. For example, I'm from Seattle. We have a ridiculous residential real estate market, a non-normal. It has particulars about it that's making it ridiculous. But across America, it's a total lack of supply that's driving prices. Okay, but that's with demand being tepid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so With supply being missing, the only way out of this is via building. It's the only way we're going to produce cost-effective housing for families, but also any way that's going to touch supply in a way that will mean revert price or normalize some of the run-up we've had in real estate. The nice thing to that is you build a bunch of homes, and it's a blue-collar trade thing. Great for the economy. There was a piece in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend about $300 billion has been missing from the U.S. economy tied to housing that hasn't come back. Low homeownership's had something to do with that, but it just hasn't come back to a normal level.
You like Lennar because they, what, played to the first-time home buyer?
They got more available land than anyone. Okay, the other name that space is NVR, and NVR doesn't own land. So one of the things that can happen in this is as the economy strengthens, being able to access land quickly like that to build on this lack of supply will be very attractive. The bigger difference between the two is Lennar does more land development via that land, as where NVR uses option contracts, and they're the best pure just home builder, not actually developing land. Both look attractive. I tell you, here's the weird thing. Those are two stocks we own. Talk about valuations. The toughest thing in housing is not whether there's good prices. There are good prices. It's not a high-quality business, and that's the kind of stuff we like to know. So the toughest thing for us right now is, guys, we think we're right about residential real estate the next 5 to 10 years, and our biggest fear is we might not make enough money, okay? Think how
– We might not make enough
we
money.
We might not make – that's about 10% of our portfolio between those two stocks, and we're fearful that in a tougher market with valuations where they are the next 2 to 3 years, who's going to make good money in a tough market, period?
Now, 10% of your portfolio in those two names.
Two stocks, yeah.
Okay.
Switching gears here, turning to Walgreens, why do you like it?
In the Amazon.
He's trying to take a drink of water and we stopped him.
No, in the Amazon world, okay, it's all about convenience, mm-hmm. right? That's why we use Prime and so on and so forth. And Prime's going to win the game, supposedly. Okay, now here's the great part to Walgreens. Location is what they do really well. How close your grocery store or your prescription or your convenience store is to decides whether you do business there or not, okay? With the ownership of Rite Aid, which they're hasn't finished out, but they're in the process.
And how many stores are they going to add with the Rite Aid acquisition?
Oh, well, they're going to have to divest about a third, maybe 40% of their stores. So number off the top of my head, all I know is, 50 years ago we had 50,000 stores, drug stores in America. Today we have 50,000. So we're serving more people on better economies of scale with the stores. But the most important thing is, most people don't know this, but Walgreens owns part of AmerisourceBergen, one of those hated drug distributors, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if they seal the deal with Rite Aid, they'll probably hand over Rite Aid's drug distribution to ABC, which immediately makes it more profitable to be an owner of AmerisourceBergen, which...
What about if there's pressure on drug pricing?
That's the great part. Use the politics. We love politics. They help us. Why? Because people are very afraid of that, as you're pointing out. Now, here's the beautiful part to it. Overall, pharmaceutical spending is a small portion of total healthcare spending. Okay, so the president comes out and says we're going to reduce our costs in healthcare. $130 billion. They could wipe off $20 billion, and that's still not the highest margin customer in that space because it's Medicaid, Medicare, etc. We saw that recently here with.
But pharmacy is a big part of their business. Well, in terms of revenues.
Well, in terms of revenues, but a lot of that's generics, which means it doesn't touch as much of the high margin type stuff. Okay, so my main point in this is just that this idea that they're going to be able to take away market practices tied to the government, it looks very odd. In other words, this idea that we're going to cut $20 billion off and cut 30% of the total cost of pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those have already been bid through market processes. Now, it's a great friend. If you're the president, it's a great thing. Come out and go to his constituents and say, hey, here's what we're going to do. The reality is we also own Express Scripts, who's out there fighting for their customers to reduce prices. So they come to Gilead and say, Gilead says, hey, we're trying to reduce our costs, but we have the pharmacy benefit managers keeping costs high. And Express Scripts CEO has been on record saying, listen, go ahead and raise the price. We're not going to complain for 1 second. So there's a lot of controversy around it. Now, the main thing I want you to take away. Drug companies, distributors, pharmacy benefit managers, there's so many people in the middle. Who's the politician going to pick on? There's a lot of middlemen to stop that from happening.
All right. Certainly lots to think about. Cole, thank you. Cole Smead, Managing Director, Co-Portfolio Manager at Smead Capital Management, joining us right here in Bloomberg Radio.